Started. Welcome to the City Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odle, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Here online with me are the other members of the BZA, Don Horton, David Dupree, Christina Boulder, and Grant Rosenberg. Also here online are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda, and agendas were sent to all the meeting attendees and applicants via email prior to today's online meeting. Pursuant to the BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be conducted in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, and then a second, and then further discussion among board members, and then a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules apply. Each person may speak for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow for an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers in total, and each of those to 5 minutes each. The board member may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. If you wish to speak at the appropriate time, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform that we're on here. And then when we called on, speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of the decisions by BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. And if you wish to file such a petition, it shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department no more than 15 days from BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. LeClaire to call the roll.
David Dupree.
Here.
Christina Boulder.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
Don Horton.
Here.
Daniel Odle.
I am here. Before we get going today, we have a quorum. I need to make a special motion. We did this last time as well, but because of this COVID season that we're in, I need to make a motion to confirm that conducting today's meeting by electronic means is necessary to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of Tennesseans in light of the COVID-19 outbreak, and ask for a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, and Ms. LeClaire, please call a roll.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Christina Boulder.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye. All right. And so now on, we have, let's see here. We need to move to meeting, our last meeting minutes really quick. Could I have a motion to approve our September 17 meeting minutes?
So moved.
We have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
Okay, Ms. LeClaire, please call the roll.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Christina Boulder.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye.
I'm having a hard time hearing
Grant. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm having a hard time hearing Grant. Is anybody else?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time too.
You guys hear me now?
There you go.
Sorry. I'm outside.
Thank you. All right. Just a brief reminder today on today's meeting to our applicants, and we periodically will say this, but you'll hear one very regular question when asked to present your application to the board, and that is, what is your hardship? And just as a reminder, we have variance standards that we have to make our decisions according to, and please be prepared for that answer when you are asked. So thank you for that as we get going. But we'll start today with old business. We have file 6I20VA, 2401 North Central Street. If you're here to speak to that issue, if you please raise your hand and we'll move you over to the platform here.
Hey, okay. Daniel. Hey.
Hi there, give me 1 second to arrange the screen. Well. Okay. All right, thank you. Amy, is that you here to speak to this?
I'm here.
All right, very good. If you would, please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, absolutely. Amy Sherrill, 1324 Granger Avenue, and I am owner of Benefield Richter's, representing the owner of the property.
All right, thank you very much. If you would, please describe your variance request to us.
Yes, absolutely. The building at 2401 is a 1910s two-story building. It takes up the entire lot. Which is where our hardship comes into play here. The request that we are making based off of the likely use, we are asking for a variance request of zero parking in place of the 22 what would be required. And the owner has made agreement for development of new parking on an adjacent property, as well as has additional spaces secured in a lot nearby to be able to meet the demand of the building.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we move forward from there, I need to ask if there are any staff comments to this variance request.
Yes, this is Peter Ahrens, Director of Plans Review and Inspections. I was going to make mention of the lease agreement that was provided to us today. We've reviewed it with our law department, and we believe that as it stands today, there are 15 spaces available, which would require the variance to be essentially, right now it's on the paper in front of you, is 17 down to zero. We believe it should read 17 down to 15 because the 15 are readily available for use and not necessarily include those that can be developed on the adjacent property. So what you would be hearing today would be a request from the required parking spaces down to 15.
Down to 15, okay.
You see part one is 15 to zero and part two is two down to zero.
I do see it. Yep, go ahead, sorry.
Ultimately, that's 17 total down to zero, and it would be 17 down to 15.
Okay. So if this variance request is approved, we need to state 17 to 15.
Yes.
All right. Having heard from the applicant, I need to ask real quick if there's anyone here in opposition. And if so, if you'd raise your hand on the little platform here. All right, I don't see anyone speaking up. So we'll move into discussion real quick. This seems fairly straightforward to me, but it's any board members have any questions to ask?
Well, I haven't seen the agreement, but if the law department has and has determined that it's fine, then I'm fine. And I would move us approval of the request of the variant reducing down to 15.
Can I ask, Peter, do we need to separate that out in terms of what's required for the commercial space versus the residential? Or does it really matter?
I don't think it matters. Not unless this board wants the, I know that this board historically has not wanted to reduce residential parking. So if we want to further stipulate that of those 15 spaces in the lease agreement, two are dedicated to the residential, I don't see a problem with that.
We have a motion. My comment there would be that from a practical standpoint, I don't know that there's going to be any real effect to dividing between residential and commercial. I don't know that anyone ever monitors that in the future. If we wanted to stipulate that, we certainly could.
I guess, does Daniel want, David want to modify the motion? Or I'm comfortable with it standing that way too.
Well, and then I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and let me second his motion and for further discussion purposes. So we have a motion and a second to approve. Further discussion?
I'm happy to amend it to dedicate two to residential if the board wants.
I would be in favor of that. Not that it's really going to be enforced, like Daniel said, but we are designating residential parking in the area, which will become more and more of an issue as things develop. So we are establishing some residential spaces, whether they're enforced or casually agreed upon, we won't know. And I just lost my screen.
I did also. So for, I guess, for recordation purposes, I would restate it that we approve the reduction in spaces request to 15 with the caveat that two are dedicated to residential.
I will second that. Any other discussion or question? All right, seeing none, Christine, if you'd call a roll, please.
David Dupree?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Daniel Odle?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Thanks, Juliana. On the new business, 10A20VA, it's Chris, I think it's Carnini, if I'm reading that right, and on 6830 Glenbrook Drive. If you would please state your name and address for the record, sir, you get on here. There he is. And Chris, your microphone is muted.
Okay. Can everybody hear me now?
Very good. There we go. Thank you.
Okay.
Just state your name and address for the record real quick, sir.
Yes, sir. We are Chris and Courtney Carini, 6830 Glenbrook Drive.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask real quick, are there any staff comments on 10A20VA?
No staff comments.
Okay, no staff time. Chris, if you would just tell us about your variance and what the nature of your hardship is for this request.
Yes, so we've decided to add on to the house and found out in the process of getting a survey done, we realized that the existing footprint of the house is actually outside of the corner rear setback line, which we had no idea that was the case, obviously, till we had a survey done, and we've gotten a plan to add on. The addition, actually, it's a renovation addition, comes in, so the existing footprint will not be exceeded. It's actually going to be further from the setback line than it currently is. And, you know, just through this whole process, we're kind of new to this whole thing, but we've learned that we have to request this variance. So, you know, and I know you guys want to know our hardships. So we've basically got two hardships here. Number one is that we're on a corner and we have two setback lines, two 25-foot setback lines. You can see the lot shape is a little bit irregular, and the buildable flatter area of the property is at the top of your screen. So that part is narrower. And then the other hardship is that we have a large oak tree. It's a hundred plus year white oak tree on the other side, which you can see now. And in order to add on, we really don't have any other, you know, if we go towards the tree, we're going to kill the tree. And that's been told to us by an arborist. So we had somebody come out there, looked at different options, and really the only way to do this, to expand our living space, is to go in the direction that we proposed. So we really want to save this tree. And, you know, it just means a lot to us and the neighbors. And so, you know, that pretty much covers it. And I guess we'd open it up to your guys' questions.
Absolutely. Thank you. As a matter of process, is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? Let me find my little participants tool here. I don't think I see anybody raising their hand. All right, very good. We can move along. All right, so this is about a garage. This is a garage or just a home renovation? It's just a home renovation.
Yes.
Chris, one question that I have about this really quick for you. It looks like to me that there's also some slope on your property, that the house is seated at the crest of a little rise. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. So where that picture was taken from is well, that's from the street, and that's well below the level of the house.
From where your entrance is down to, what is that, Glenbrook there, is there about a 40-foot drop off the...
I'm not sure how many feet it is, but it is probably, I would guess, 20 to 30 at least.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's more accurate. It's not quite 40. It's looks more like 20, I think. Okay.
I'll make a motion. We approve this variance based on the topography and the site constraints. Looks like they're making the minimum adjustment necessary to comply, and I think it's going to fit within the character of the neighborhood. So I move we approve.
Second.
All right, motion and a second. And Juliana, if you please call a vote.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg. Grant, we couldn't hear you on that one.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye. All right, motion carries. Thank you very much. Application's approved. 10B 20VA, Matthew Ford, Ridge Rock Lane. And this is about building a garage. Matthew, are you here? It looks like you just got moved over. That's great. Before we start, Matthew, let me ask if there's any staff comments on this agenda item.
There are no additional staff comments.
No additional staff comments. Okay. Matthew, if you would, please tell us about your variance request and what the nature of your hardship is after you state your name and address for the record.
My name is Matthew Ford, 6723 Ridge Rock Lane. And the hardship is the restriction of the accessory building that I'm requesting to build. My property is 3 acres in a unrestricted neighborhood. There's no restrictions at all on the road that we live on. The side of the road that I live on are all unusually large pieces of property. I'm on 3 acres. My neighbor to one side is on 3 acres. My neighbor on the other side is on 9 acres. So in the West Hills neighborhood, it's very unusual. I have a very large classic car collection. I'm in the automotive business. And right now, my car collection is stored in my commercial buildings. And future plans are to sell the business, sell the property, rent the property. I am going to lose my storage space for the car collection that I've been building my entire life. And so the issue is the 1,100 square feet for a accessory building per acre or more. We have a very small accessory building on the property already that reduces that size. You know, the way that the property sits, I've got plans drawn for 3,200 square feet. You know, in scale to the article of 1 acre, 1,100 square feet, that still really falls under if you put it in place to scale. The way that the property is set is the house is, I mean, it's almost 100 yards from the street, uphill. From the street, you will barely even be able to see the garage. The only neighbors that come into play on this are basically my immediate neighbors to the right and to the left, and they have absolutely no opposition to this, nor have any of the other neighbors in the neighborhood. They know that the nature of my business, they know the nature of my car collection. And when I bought the property 8 years ago, I probably should have looked into this a little closer, but really this was put in plans in motion many years ago, an idea to build a garage here to store my personal car collection at home. Again, I should have done a little more due diligence to find out I was going to have such a problem here. But the hardship is just the simple fact that, you know, 3 large acres in the middle of the city. And, you know, I personally don't think that the garage is that out of line for the nature of the property, and hope that you guys will reconsider.
Okay, thank you very much. I need to ask if there is anyone here that is in opposition, and if you would, please raise your hand on the platform here. All right, I don't see anyone raising their hand. All right, Mr. Ford, thank you very much. I was looking for a site plan here. If you could, real quick, just describe to us where this building is supposed to sit on the lot. It's a long, narrow lot, I believe.
It is a long, narrow lot. The main structure, the house, is to the left, which you see sitting horizontal to the length of the property. And so the garage is the structure on the right. The house is the structure on the left. There is an attached garage on the right side of the house. And then the garage here that you see, the proposed garage, we'll have garage doors in the front of it, and then there'll be garage doors on the left of the house. Basically makes an L there, and there'll be a walkway between the two. It is a very long and skinny piece of property, and it sits at the top of the hill. But that is to the right of the house, the proposed garage that you see.
Okay.
And you can see the gray is the extension of the driveway to make way for the front of the garage. And the whole garage has been drawn to match the house completely with masonry work and everything, just to be aesthetically pleasing to the neighborhood. It's, you know, not a metal garage. It's a very it was a well thought out plan to match the house and the property and everything involved.
Got it. Thank you very much. What other questions do we have?
I wasn't quite clear on the hardship.
The hardship is basically that I have a very large car collection of high value that I'm basically going to have nowhere to store. And the hardship is, you know, when I bought the property being 3 acres, I never thought that I would run into this issue again. I should have done my due diligence then, but unfortunately I didn't. So now I'm up against that. The hardship is either I have to sell a $500,000 car collection, or I have to sell my property and move and go somewhere else to store it. That is the hardship for the situation at hand, unfortunately.
I have a question for the staff. If this was not a detached carport, if it was attached to the house, would a variance be needed?
I don't know if it is incorporated as part of the house. Possibly not, but we typically look at any kind of building or structure that's going to be included in the square footage of the house has to share a common roof line. So the way it's constructed now, it's a detached accessory garage.
Yeah, so I don't see a hardship at present, but I wonder if there's a way to accomplish what you're trying to do, but make it attached and have it share a roof line.
Due to the nature and of the property being the size that it is with the setbacks, it's very, and the house has a pool. We have a pool in the backyard directly behind the house. Due to the nature of the property, which the garage is only 3 feet from the corner of the house, it could very easily be attached. And you know, it is a possibility. It's just a last resort to, in my mind, the site plan would have to be changed. The garage would have to be moved forward quite a bit. And it really just, the way that the property lays, it's just, it's not ideal for it at all. You know, I mean, there's obviously all kinds of other options to get the square footage, from subdividing to attaching it. I was just hoping to not have to do that considering the nature of the property. It's just a little different scenario. The house isn't at the road, you know, there's all kinds of adjustments that I can make. It's just not really the best option for me or the property, to be honest with you.
I don't hear any other questions or comments. I tend to agree that there's not much of a there's no technical hardship based on what we are. There's no hardship, technical or not. Mr. Ford,
can I interrupt for just a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
So being a taxpaying citizen of the city of Knoxville, having to sell an entire car collection is not a hardship, or having to sell my property to move elsewhere to build an accessory structure isn't a hardship. I mean, that's...
Yes, actually. And I understand the question, but it's not. And the reason why is that we're not allowed to consider financial matters as a part of being a legitimate hardship under the ordinances that we're instructed under, and we have our authority under.
Well, neither of those are necessarily a financial hardship. It's just a hardship in general. I didn't really mention that it was any kind of a financial hardship, but a major inconvenience for, you know, again, owning 3 acres of property. The city offers 1,100 square feet for an acre or 1,000 acres in residential, which is a little, it's not really any kind of a financial situation, but.
Sure, I guess I understand that comment. I don't mean to infer anything that you're not stating specifically. I get that. I'm just not certain how else to categorize that. Hardships, the boundaries that we are kind of charged to work within, are things such as the size and shape, topography, soil conditions. There can be legal hardships. There can be easements, other matters like that are related primarily to the land itself, that we can then grant a variance on, because we are not allowed to prevent a beneficial use of the property based on zoning ordinance. And so the problem we're getting into, I think, with this is that from a board standpoint, we're having a hard time figuring out, and I'm just inferring this from comments that are made, where the lack of beneficial use is. It's still usable. It's not usable for your particular need, but it's still very, very usable. There's no deprivation that's occurring by you know, if this variance request was turned down. At least that's what I'm hearing from my fellow board members. Does that make any sense at all when I say that?
There is quite a deprivation of my rights to use my property. It's very much a deprivation in my mind. You know, I understand you guys are bound by the articles that you have to work within, but you know, you just approved a setback issue over a tree, you know, and I see that hardship, but it's.
And that was, you know, just for the sake of conversation, that was done because of topography, and they were decreasing their footprint, not increasing it. And they were putting it right back where it was. The house was going right back where it was. And they also had two front and back side setbacks. That did eat into the reasonable area of their property. So that combined with the topography, the tree is, yes, something that's consideration, but it wasn't actually the basis for the variance. So anyways, that, you know, I appreciate the conversation, the question. I don't mind answering it, but we probably need to move on.
Is there just one last question? Is there any possibility of middle ground here of granting a more square footage, but not necessarily the size that I've requested? Is there a possibility for a middle ground for half of the size or something along those lines? Is that possible?
Size, I don't think, is the issue. I think it's an issue of solely hardship.
Oh, right.
And I'll let other board members comment if they'd like to real quick. I'm not trying to hog that comment, but I would
I think you articulated it well, Daniel. Mr. Ford, I think, the issue we have is when we make a motion, we have to articulate the rationale for which we make that motion. So if we make a motion, if we were to make a motion to approve, we would have to explain why. And for this one, we don't have a reason, a hardship to cite. And per the zoning ordinance, that's clearly defined, and that's what we're bound to. So I'm struggling with it too. On the surface, you're making good points, but they're not points that we can cite in granting a hardship, at least. Not that we're not from a legal standpoint. I would say, you know, if you know, there's always an appeal to city council, which is the ultimate, you know, they're the elected officials and the elected body that can hear these appeals. But at this point, I'm with the other board members. I don't know what we can cite as a hardship to grant the variance.
All right, well, I'll look at other options then to try to
and generally I'm on the same page with Grant there. It's a long site. I think it's way off the road. There's a lot of points to the location of this garage where I don't see it as any practical detractor of anything. The problem is that we don't have a land basis for this decision. And to that point, and I was going to say this at the end, but we'll just go ahead and say it now before we ask it for motion one way or the other, is what Grant said is absolutely right. Any decision that we make can be appealed to city council. And so, sure. You know, we have our limitations we have to work within. City council has theirs.
And so I understand. Maybe
that can be helpful. I'd like to request that there's a motion from anyone on the board.
I'll just make a motion. We deny due to lack of a hardship.
I second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further conversation or question from the board? Hearing none, Ms. Juliana, if you'll call a vote, please.
David Dupree?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Daniel Odle?
Aye. Motion's denied, and Mr. Ford, thank you for the application, and well, we made our comment about City Council, so good luck to you. All right, moving on from there. Lost my agenda, where to go? All right, 10C20 VA, it was said at the beginning of the meeting that they have written a letter to pull that item off of today's agenda. So we will skip that. Do I need to make a motion on that, or can we just
move? I would move to a postpone.
What? Has it been postponed or has it been withdrawn? No.
This is Brian with the City of Knoxville. The applicant wants to remove it. They're not postponing that, so they're removing it from the agenda.
And I don't think a motion is really needed. That's really just more of an announcement for the board.
I withdraw.
Sure. Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll move on from 10C and we'll go over to 10E, 20 VA. Corey Crawford of 5404 Stone Oak Lane. If you would raise your hand and see if we can get you turned over here.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. If you could just state your name and address for the record real quick.
My name is Corey Crawford. I'm at 5404 Stone Oak Lane.
Okay. Give me one second here. I'm pulling up the agenda, the motion request. I need to ask real quick if there is any comment from city staff.
There's no additional comment.
No additional comment. All right, sir. If you would, please tell us about your application, your variance request, and what your hardship is, please.
Yes, sir. So on this property, we have a detached two-story structure that is a garage on bottom and has a additional storage space on the second story. And so we are looking to renovate the second story room. Right now it is just an open room. And so we'd like to do some renovations in order to make that into a more usable space. In doing so, this structure has existed since 1960, and it was constructed at a height of 23 feet and is only 5 feet from the rear lot. So in looking to renovate the second story, it will change the setback requirements to 10 feet from the rear lot and to a total height of 18 feet. Not to exceed the height of the primary structure. So you can see we would extend into that setback requirement and be above the height requirement, though we'd still be below the height of the primary structure due to the topography. And so the hardship really on this is in trying to renovate an interior space, there will be no modifications or additions to the outside of the structure. But in modifying the interior in order to achieve that setback requirement and to meet the height requirement, we would have to demolish most, if not all, of the structure that has existed for several years. But I think due to the topography, we're still below the ridge line of the main house. You can see I've included a image from the front of the property, and you can see that this structure does not dominate the landscape. And even though we are extending into that 10-foot setback requirement, like I say, this building has been there for around 60 years now, and the neighbor down the hill is their residence is a significant distance down that hill, and it's a significant elevation change. So I don't think we're intruding on their and their property and the use of their land. And so I think the spirit of the ordinances are maintained, even though we would require that variance.
All right, thank you, sir. I need to ask real quick if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance request. And if there is, please raise your hand on the platform here. All right. I don't see anyone speaking up, so that's great. All right. That was a great presentation. I think I understand. Are there any questions from the board on this one?
Well, am I understanding that you're going to demolish the structure that's there and rebuild it to the same dimensions?
No, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Did not mean to cut you off.
No. Is the only reason for this is that you're changing the use of the structure?
So we'd be changing the use of the structure in the city's eyes. So we're not going to do any demolition. We're solely going to be renovating the interior space of this existing structure. And so that's why the setbacks and the height requirement come into play.
Thank you.
And I understood why we talked about the height requirement, just to make sure I'm clear. The only variance request that's needed is from 10 feet to 5 feet. Is that correct on the setback?
No, sir.
That is correct. This is right.
And that, just for clarity, that's what we have on our variance. Hey, Brian, you cut out on us a little bit. We couldn't quite hear you.
Determined that you don't need a variance for the, Mr. Crawford, it was determined through staff review that you will not need a variance on the height, the existing height on it. You will need a variance to convert it to an ADU, given that the requirement that's defined in the accessory use for an accessory dwelling unit requires that it be 10 feet off of the rear property line, and that's not what's existing out there. So
I think I caught most of that. Brian, your feed is a little bit choppy.
Yeah, well, I'm tired here.
There we go. I'll let you do that and take care of that. I think I understood most of what he was saying. It's an adaptive reuse on an existing structure. I personally don't see any actual consequence to any neighbor. Mr. Crawford, correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a pretty strong tree line also at the back of the property?
Yes, that's correct.
And the structure, from what I can see, I mean, it fits with the house. Was the house and this garage built at the same time?
I believe the structure in question was built a few years later. So I believe the primary structure was built in 1953 and this structure was built in 1960, but around the same time.
And I believe from the variance application, we can also see there's some significant slope going across the back of the property, fairly significant.
Okay, I apologize for that. I'm happy to try to address that again. Hopefully it sounds a little better.
It does sound a lot better. Why don't you say what you were saying again real quick so we can...
Great. So, Mr. Crawford, through the staff review of your application, it was determined that the existing height for the structure out there would not require a variance because in the accessory structure and use section of the zoning ordinance, what is defined for an accessory dwelling unit requires only that the rear setback be 10 feet off of the property line and the existing structure there is 5 feet. So that's why
the variance is only one as listed.
Okay, thank you for that.
Well, in light of the structure is not changing, it's the footprint and the massing of the structure is remaining the same and it is existing. Changing it to a ADU is having a little bit of impact probably with more activity there, but I will make a motion that we accept this variance in light of it. He is not changing the structure as far as the impact on the site.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Dupree. You have a motion and second to approve 10E 20VA. With any further conversation or question from the board? Hearing none, Julianne, if you'll please call a roll call vote.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye. Motion carries and the application is approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to 10F, 20VA, John Thurman, Brad Raines, 1500 Fort Promise Drive. You all will start moving over while we're getting them moved over. If you any further staff comments on this application?
Staff has no additional comments.
All right, very good.
Hey, this is Brad Raines. Can you hear me?
Okay, we can now, Brad. Thank you very much. If you'll tell us about your application and state your name and address for the record, and then tell us also what the hardship is for your application.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Brad Raines, 421 East Scott Avenue. I'm the project architect with McCarty Holsapple McCarty, representing the developer, Knoxville's Community Development Corporation, and the owner-operator, Knoxville, Knox County Head Start. I believe they have a staff member attending the meeting as well, if there's any questions for them. What we're proposing is a 10-classroom Head Start preschool in the Western Heights community on the corner of Olden and McSpadden. And this facility is based on one of Head Start's existing preschools in the North Ridge community on Bretta Drive. Same 10 classroom program, same area. And they currently have on that site 55 paved parking spaces, and they have an additional gravel lot that affords them about another 20 spaces, and they use all of that. And so when they came to this site, they based their program on that project, and they knew they needed that amount of parking to serve this facility. So when we looked at the prescriptive maximum allowable off-street parking for preschools in the zoning code and saw that it was 2 per classroom, that was evident to us that that wasn't going to be adequate for this facility to meet its needs. And you know, we don't see how that can be adequate for any preschool facility. If you think about that number in context of licensing requirements, any facility of this type is going to be required by the state to have 2 to 3 adults just per classroom to maintain student to teacher ratios. And it takes a lot more than that to run a preschool. They've got administrative staff, they have other support staff, they have counselors. And in addition to that, they have client parking needs for pickup and drop off and other transient occupants. And so that's the hardship here, is that the maximum allowable parking is just not at all in line with the needs of a building of this use type. And we've got a preliminary site plan here just to show that this amount of parking can fit on the site. This isn't necessarily a final configuration, but we've done enough due diligence to know that we can be in compliance with the other zoning requirements. We know that we need to treat stormwater. We have room to do that on this site. And you know, Head Start has, they know what it takes to run these types of facilities. They have them in several different locations in Knoxville. And you know, I would say that in addition to that, they're providing a vital public service with these preschools. And I would say that it's absolutely in the public's interest to make sure that they have the facilities they need to provide that service, and having adequate parking is an essential component of that. If you look at the second page of our application, they have listed the number of staff that they have in their facility. They're requesting one space per staff member. For client parking, they have some clients that arrive by bus. They have some clients that arrive by car. That ratio was determined based on their existing facility. And so they have 8 buses they need to park on site. They need those on site because that's also their emergency egress if they ever need to transport all the kids off site at once. And they're asking for one space for about every 3 children for kids that are getting dropped off by parents. And again, that's just based on their experience at Northridge. And that gets us to a total proposed spaces of 73.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask really quickly if there's anyone here opposed to this variance request. And if so, if you please raise your hand on the platform here. Okay, I don't see anyone raising their hand.
Well, my first question, it looks like from Oldham, the property is going uphill.
Correct.
And you're putting a lot more impervious surface on the site. And since that's going uphill, you don't have a lot of area, it looks like, excuse me, for retention or dealing with the rainwater.
So we're working with Will Robinson and Associates as a civil engineer. They've done enough due diligence to determine that on the west portion of the site, they do have enough room for detention for this amount of impervious area.
Okay.
I have a question for staff. Did the 2 spaces per classroom, was that a revision based on recode?
To my knowledge, it was not. The parking requirements that were updated, and I forgot exactly when, but a couple of years ago before recode was adopted, were carried over. And so, no, I don't believe it was. Joshua, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
To add to, I mean, I think it was August 2018 is when the parking counts were updated.
Okay.
Brad, the application here talks about another facility at North on Breda Drive.
Correct.
What is the zoning at Breda?
The zoning at Breda, I believe, is either also RN5 or another type of residential, but in this case, the parking requirements are tied to the use and not the land classification.
I was going to make a motion. We approve this variance due to, I just think, strict application. You know, this is an unnecessary hardship on as the applicant mentioned, a lot of preschools and daycares, you know, they require more than one teacher per, or more than three teachers per classroom sometimes, not to mention the other staff with custodial and cafeteria workers and all kinds of other staff as well in the building. So I just feel like this is I'd also like to add to my motion to approve that Knox Planning consider revising the zoning ordinance, because this doesn't really make a lot of sense to limit or to have the a maximum of two per classroom. I'll just respectfully add that to my motion.
I'll
second the motion, and I'll just add that because of where it is with Western Heights, you're probably going to get a good amount of foot traffic coming, walking to the school. So hopefully that'll help stave off the need for additional parking.
Thank you. Motion and a second. I feel a little confused, because if I'm reading this correctly, this use is allowed in this zone, but I'm kind of with what Grant said on the I don't understand exactly where the parking limitation is coming from in RN5 zoning. If this use is allowed, it's just that has that limit on it for some reason.
And I'm that specific correct, use, right? Yeah. The parking requirements just tied to the use, not the zone. So it just seems, I don't know, it just seems kind of
arbitrary. And that's why I think I'm a little, okay, that makes, okay.
But they only have 10 classrooms, so they're only allowed 20 parking spaces. It just seems it doesn't make, I don't follow the logic of why they would have that requirement.
And I think, is the use change, is the use change a recode issue, or has that always been that way?
It's a new building. It's a brand new building. They're gonna build a new facility, if I understand it correctly.
Right. I'm not used to limitations in based on use, I don't think, when it comes to parking. That's why I'm confused. What am I missing?
So yeah, this is Brian with city staff. The parking ordinance and the use table has a minimum and a maximum requirement based on a use. And so, unfortunately, it is what it is with regards to preschool and kindergarten. It has, I believe, a minimum of one per classroom and a maximum of two per classroom. So I agree, it looks like it needs to be considered, because for a variety of reasons as far as what's existing.
That doesn't follow the state's requirement for the ratio of, I'll say, students to instructor for that age group. It's something like 1:4, I believe.
That's correct.
And was it that way, Brian, prior to recode, or is that change and tying to the use like that a recode?
Right. So as Joshua had mentioned, the parking ordinance was updated in 2018. So before recode was complete and adopted. And at the time when the parking ordinance was updated, part of that was to establish some minimum and maximum parking spaces for uses permitted within that table, so it would provide some flexibility. Unfortunately, as we're experiencing here, it seems that the parking requirements that are laid out there from a minimum and maximum standpoint do not seem to make sense. And so that would be something that would be looked into, and possibly some type of text amendment made to change that if needed.
Okay. And I don't mean to belabor this, but from a process standpoint, if we wanted to push that up the chain, I don't think I'm inclined to hold up saying no to this to get it to city council with the hope that city council would pick that up and go after looking at the zoning code. But can we make a request to council to look at this particular item and see if they can maybe consider some sort of revision on this? How would we do that?
Staff will make a note of it. I've been making notes of additional text amendments that need to be made as we come across them, and that's one that can be added to it. So we can take that and move forward, talk with the law department as well as administration and kind of see.
My concern on it from a board standpoint is I don't honestly see a strict hardship. That's part of why I'm asking, but I think it would be silly to say no to them too, because that's a bad rule.
I would offer, you know, and I tried to tie it. Maybe I didn't articulate it in my motion very well, but I think the strict application of this mm-hmm. provision does result in an unnecessary hardship. It deprives the owner, KCDC, of reasonable use of this land for, again, particularly for a public use for a Head Start pre-K facility. But it, as Don mentioned, as the applicant mentioned, it doesn't even comply with the regulation, doesn't even match up with the state licensing requirements for these classrooms. So I would offer that. It's maybe it is a stretch. And again, that's why I added to my motion that council and Knox Planning consider revising this ordinance. But I'm with you. I don't want to hold it up, but I want to make sure we follow the rules. But I feel like there's a legitimate hardship as well with the strict application provision.
The topography is also an issue over there.
And also the shape of this lot, I would say that half of it is not really usable. I don't have a scale here, but just looking at how narrow it narrows down, it's a lot of it, and it has a creek going through it. A lot of it is not buildable.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with all those statements. A little bit of the argument that you're having that I'm concerned about is we're using the rules that are there to state the basis as the hardship. You could say that about a lot of things. I think the rules kind of create your hardship, you know. And I'm saying I agree, but I just want to make sure that this does get to council and it's something that's brought up and understood and looked at. So.
I get it. No, I hear you.
We have a motion and a second. And Ms. Claire, if you call a roll call vote, please.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye. Did we get Grant on the record? I didn't know if we heard him.
I did hear him, yes.
All right. Okay, thank you. All right, motion carries. Thank you very much. On to 10G20VA. Aaron Sirkri, I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, 1535 Woodbine Avenue. If you would please raise your hand there, we'll move you over real quick. While we're doing that, if there's any comments from staff?
No comments from staff.
No additional comments. Thank you very much. Aaron, I see you raised your hand there. As soon as we get you moved over. There we go. And you are on mute. Thank you, Aaron. If you go ahead and tell us, state your name and address for the record. Tell us about your variance request and what your hardship is.
Sure thing. Can you all hear me okay?
We can. Thank you.
Wonderful. Aaron Searcy, 1535 Woodbine Avenue. The variance request is, as you can see on the pictures on pages 3 and 6, is to essentially improve or replace an existing structure that's currently a garage / shed that's got a footprint of about 39 plus by 17 feet. And we're looking to, in place of that, build an accessory dwelling unit that would reduce that footprint down to 16 by 28. When we initially submitted this, by the way, I'm joined by Bonnie Casamassima, my significant other, who's also a resident at 1535 with me. But we got a bit of an education after we made our original submission that we needed to accommodate for parking and make a greater case for hardship. So we resubmitted the drawing to build in a parking space behind the unit there. to be in compliance there. And the goal again is improvement of the existing structure and to come into greater compliance by with the new structure, having something that will then be in compliance with the side setback rule. It'll be a couple feet closer than it was for the rear setback, and it will reduce the existing lot coverage. And as far as hardship goes, the pictures may not depict this as well. Maybe the overhead on page 3 does a little better job of this, is that, you know, the house, the primary house footprint is quite large, and we are on the minimum lot requirement of 50 feet in width. And the backyard, in order for it to be usable, if we come in the full 10 feet, we feel that it would deem the yard practically unusable for the dwellings, compressing it down to about 15 feet and change. And with what we're requesting here, we are looking to bring it in and compressing it down to about 21 feet and change there. So that's a general overview of what we're looking for.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And let me ask real quick, if we have anyone here that is opposed to this variance request? If so, please raise your hand on the platform here. Okay, I think I see one hand raised. David Nix, we can get him moved over so he can speak really quick. And David, you are on mute there. If you could unmute yourself, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you very much.
A little misnomer there. I'm not actually here to speak against this. More, I guess, in speaking for. I'm David Nix, live at 2413 East Cliff Avenue. I'm a member of the Park Ridge community for like 23 years now, and been on and off the board, the Park Ridge Community Organization Board for several years, been involved with it. And I am now the liaison for the H1 and codes, you know, for the neighborhood. And actually, I'm speaking in favor of this. I've not received anyone or anything from anybody with any kind of negative comments, you know, for this. So the neighborhood would be in favor, you know, of this project. I think it would help that the buildings that's there, are, you, as you can see, are pretty dilapidated. And wouldn't exactly be worth any effort in trying to revitalize. So I guess I just want to go on the record that the neighborhood is in favor of this project.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. We appreciate that. All right. Having done that, let's move to board discussion and questions. Board, are there any questions or discussion, comments on the application? You know, generally looking at the application, looking at the neighborhood, there are all sorts of accessory structures in this neighborhood that are positioned the same way. And I believe this is an undersized lot. Have I got that right?
No, it meets the minimum lot dimensions in the RN2, a 50-foot width and 5,000 square feet.
So it is not what we used to call a small lot of record. Now we just call it a substandard lot, is that right?
I think it's laudable that they don't want to just leave the dilapidated building back there, but are seeking to improve the lot, seeking to improve the property.
Absolutely.
Even if it's not a small lot of record, I do think there is a hardship due to the size of the lot. based on the amount of yard available in the rear with how the current house is positioned.
I think I would tend to agree with that assessment too. I'm not sure how to, if you're going to have any accessory structure there, they basically would not be able to have one.
I'll move we approve.
I'll second.
Motion and a second to approve. Any further comment or question? Ms. LeClaire, please call the vote.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odle.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Move on to 10I20 VA, Kathy Hawley at 1022 Eleanor Street. And very briefly, let's ask if we have any staff comments. Any further staff comments? Brian, you're on mute if you can hear us.
Sorry, I was trying to load this application up. No additional comments.
Okay, no additional comments. Thank you. All right. Let's see here. Did we move? Sarah Martin over, I believe. There she is. Sarah, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you very much. Yeah, if you would state your name and address for the record, tell us about the variance request and the hardship, please.
Great. So this is Sarah Martin. My address is 1121 Eleanor Street, which is just down the block from this house, which is at 1022 Eleanor Street. I've been hired to talk about this application by the homeowner, Katie Hawley, who is also on the call in case she's needed for any questions. But yes, the application is to put an outbuilding in the backyard of this historic home that's in the H1 and 4th and Gill. It's almost identical to the application that went just in front of us, in that what the hardship is that this is a non-conforming lot of record, which, you know, 120 years ago when the property was deeded, it was within the zoning code, but now through amendments over the decades, it is out of conformance with respect to lot coverage. So the lot coverage of the existing house is over the allowed amount for the zoning district. And so the variance request is to increase the allowed lot coverage to 35% so that the outbuilding can be constructed. And for context, beside the fact that it's, you know, similar to the last applicant in a dense historic neighborhood where the existing development pattern is high density and typically above the 30% allowed, this specific house also used to have an outbuilding that was demolished at some unknown point in history, but it can be seen on the Sanborn map from 1917. So it's just another kind of illustration that was included in the application to show how this level of density is appropriate for this specific property.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Let's ask if there's anyone here that's opposed to this request. If so, please raise your hand. I don't see anyone raising their hand. Okay. Any comments or questions from the board?
And this is basically a utility shed. That's its purpose?
It's an outbuilding that will be used as like an office, a home office for the owner. Studio type space.
All right.
And so they did lose a piece of this lot once upon a time from when the interstate was widened here. Is that right?
Let's see. I think the property, and Katie, you may be able to speak to those specifics if you're still on the call, but I think the property that was lost was actually another house's property that would have been across an alley behind this property. And so there is a weird wedge of property, but I don't think it was deeded with this one originally.
Right.
It does back up to the sound wall and I-40.
Here's an image of the city ward map, and the parcels with PT on them are parts or remnants that had portions of them taken away from when the interstate came through. So lot 63 did not.
Okay.
Is this going to be an accessory dwelling unit? Is this an ADU or is it just a, I know it's categorized as a shed accessory structure. I guess it would be an ADU if it had a bathroom and kitchen and.
Yes, correct. If it had a bathroom and a kitchen, it would be, but that's why we classified it as like outbuilding accessory structure.
I'd like to make a motion we approve due to the exceptional shallow nature of the lot. I think approval of this variance consistent with the character of the neighborhood. So make a motion, we approve.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further comment or discussion? Hearing none, Ms. LeClaire, if you'll please call a roll call vote.
David Dupree.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Daniel Odell.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I ask one quick follow-up question just to make sure we're covering all our bases? This, now that we've got the variance approved, I know this specific neighborhood we need to go through historic zoning approval. Is there any other part of the process that we need to look at getting cleared before we go through historic zoning and apply for the permit?
There is a 15-day period for appeal on any item that's been approved by the Board of Zoning Appeals. So it would just require a 15-day approval from a permit. But I do believe this still has to go through the Historic Zoning Commission approval as well. So I would think the 15 days would have expired if that's the case.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. All right, with no other agenda item, we're adjourned to November 19th. Thank you all.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.